Let's turn together in our Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, as I said a few minutes ago, we're going to be considering Mary and Martha in our sermon series on these siblings. So we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 10, and that's found on page 1033. Luke 10, starting at verse 38. Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home, into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." And that's as far as we're reading in our text. We pray for the blessing of our Lord upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever been so busy serving that you forgot what you were doing, that you forgot who you were serving? Maybe you invited a guest into your house and you're so busy preparing the meal that you don't have time to visit with the guest that you invited. If you've ever held a Thanksgiving or a Christmas at your house, you probably know what this is like. By the time everybody leaves at the end of the night, you stare at this pile of dishes and you ask yourself the question, have I even paused to give thanks today? We're overwhelmed by much serving. Well, today we are going to see with our sibling rivalries, with Mary and Martha, that there is a lesson to learn on not only priorities, but on attitude when it comes to serving in the kingdom of God. We're going to be considering this theme that Jesus teaches us to seek first the kingdom of God as he gently corrects those who are distracted with work. I'll read that one more time. Jesus Christ teaches us to seek first the kingdom of God as he gently corrects those who are distracted with work. We're going to be looking at 2 points, and each point is going to correspond to the respective sisters. So in our first point, we look at Martha and her service. To orient ourselves to the context of what's going on here, we remember that Mary and Martha have a brother named Lazarus. It's the same Lazarus who passes away later on, as we read in John. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. These siblings, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, are called the beloved ones. They are dearly loved by Jesus, as Jesus says in John 11, verse 5. As a family, they lived near Bethany. Now, Bethany is about 2 miles straight east of Jerusalem. And as being on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus would often stop at Bethany for a refreshment on his way to the holy city of Jerusalem. And when we're reading our text, we notice that our text begins by introducing us to Martha first. And as being listed first and as the manager of the home in 10 verse 38, it was likely, although our passage doesn't say this, it's likely that Martha was the oldest sister who owned and managed the home. Now, all of us can picture in our mind what this might look like. An older sister who tends to run everything, the main organizer who tends to put everything together, take control and get things done. That's the kind of person that Martha is. Now, we find that Martha is very busy with many things. Jesus and his disciples have stopped in by Martha's home, stopped in this house here in Bethany. And we know as Jesus traveled, he rarely traveled alone at this time. He was traveling with his disciples. So we could expect a group of 20 people and upwards of there gathered into the home. Now, if you've ever had a group of 20 people or more in your home preparing to feed them all, you know what a monumental task that would be. And in this particular society, it is socially unacceptable to invite someone into your home and to let them leave without making sure that they are completely filled and satisfied. So in our passage, we find in verse 40 that Martha is busy serving. Our text literally says she is distracted with much serving. Much serving, or great, extravagant service. She is doing many things to the absolute utmost in serving. She is overoccupied, mentally distracted, burdened, and overwhelmed. In the common parlance, we would say she's putting on the dog. She's going all the way in. She's taking out the fine china. This is the absolute best that she is serving. But she sees her sister sitting there by Jesus' feet, her younger sister Mary, and she is overwhelmed. She goes to Jesus and she says, "Jesus, can't you tell my sister to help out here? I mean, I'm working my fingers to the bone, and I see my little sister sitting on the couch." We can understand this frustration. Maybe as siblings in your own home, if you are helping mom do dishes and you see your little sister sitting on the couch or reading a book, this isn't fair. What's going on here? Mom, tell my sister to help out. But Jesus is going to gently correct and critique Martha. Now we need to be very careful as we consider exactly what is the critique that Jesus is going to give. Jesus is not critiquing Martha for serving. No, not at all. It was not bad that Martha was serving food to those who had gathered. The fact is, sometimes we need more people who are like Martha in her willingness to serve. We need people in the church who are willing to step up, who are willing to get their hands dirty, who are not content to stay in the background uninvested. We notice that the context here in Luke 10 is the parable of the Good Samaritan. The parable of the Good Samaritan's whole focus is this: don't separate yourself from the needs of others. Don't cross by on the other side of the road because you don't want to get your hands dirty. So Jesus is not saying it is better to be unactive, uninvolved, and uncaring. It is a godly thing, a godly pursuit, to take care of the needs of those whom God has placed in your path. So Jesus is not encouraging laziness. He is not saying that as Christians we should just be sitting around while other people are working. It's a good reminder. Sometimes we need people to step up and help. Jesus is not saying, once you become a Christian, you don't have anything to do. That is not what he is saying. Well, what is Jesus critiquing them? What is he correcting? We have to look at the attitude of Martha. What is her attitude? How was she serving? Our passage says she was troubled, anxious, worried, and distracted. This is what leads her to complain to Jesus and to criticize her sister. So Jesus mildly rebukes, lovingly corrects Martha for her anxiety, for her being troubled. She is so concerned that everything be just right, done exactly the right way, that she is forgetting who she is serving and why she is serving. Philippians 4 puts it like this: "Do not be anxious about anything." So instead of just reading our passage and saying, "Martha is bad, Mary is good, be more like Mary," we have to remember that there is a call for a balance of proper understanding. As Christians, we can't sit around all day reading our Bibles and never lifting our hands to do service. James 1 puts it like this: "Don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word." So Martha's service is not sinful. There is a time for sitting, listening, and learning, and there is time for service. What was being corrected was her troubled heart and her anxious mind. In her serving, Martha had become weary and heavy laden in her troubles. What she needed was rest from her good shepherd. Martha needed to remember, I am serving Jesus. I don't need to worry about having enough food here because Jesus can take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed the thousands. That's who I am serving. But in God's providence, we know that Luke 10 is not the last time we meet dear sister Martha. As we read a few minutes ago in John chapter 11, Martha is the one who runs out and meets Jesus Christ. It is Martha who says these wonderful words of faith, I know that whatever you ask of God, He will give it. I know that my brother will rise again on the resurrection day. It is Martha's faith and confidence in Jesus Christ that grows over time so that Martha is able to confess, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God who is coming into the world. This gentle rebuke for her troubled and anxious heart that Martha receives in our passage gives way to a loving embrace and a steadfast faith that believes that Jesus can provide even though her brother is dead. That's Martha. So for those who in our midst, you know who you are, who tend to be perfectionist, who tend to focus on serving, it is a good thing to be a servant. But when we focus on serving to the point that we become anxious and troubled and worried, so that we become critiquers and complainers, take these words to heart. Jesus loves you, and your status as a dearly loved child is secure. So you can have a heart that is quieted and calmed, being at rest in the presence of God, having a childlike faith, knowing that Jesus will provide. Well, now that we have considered Martha, we move on to her sister Mary. Now, let's just start with an illustration here. Let's imagine for a moment that there is a husband who loves his family and does everything he can to provide for his family. In the husband's mind, the way that he can provide best for his family is by working long hours, putting in the overtime. Because of his work, he's often away from home. And although his wife and his children have lots of money, his wife says to him one day, my beloved husband, I want more. I want more. I want you more. I don't want more money. I want you to spend time with me. A year later, we find the same husband with a lower paying and less stressful job. His wife and kids are so much happier because their husband and father has chosen the better thing. Relationship. Time. Love in presence. Over anxious work. In a similar way, in our passage, we find Mary chooses the better thing in our passage as well. In the opening words of verse 42, we find Jesus stating that one thing is necessary. What is the one thing that is necessary? What is the one thing that should be the priority of every Christian, of both Mary and Martha? Well, the one thing is this, Matthew 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Martha's priority should have been on seeking God's glory and communion with him, and that would have greatly decreased her anxiety, and her troubled heart would have found rest. As far as Mary goes, she has chosen the better thing, the greater thing. What is the greater thing? The greater thing is communion with Jesus Christ. You see, brothers and sisters, what Jesus wants from you first and foremost is your heart. What he wants is your love. What he wants is for you to be in communion with him. So Jesus continues in verse 42. Mary has chosen the good portion. Mary has set a priority on communion with me. It is interesting that whenever we read of Mary in our passage and in other passages as well, is the position that Mary is in. In our passage, we find Mary at Jesus' feet. In John chapter 11, if we would have kept reading that same passage we started in, where will we find Mary? She falls at Jesus' feet. Again, in John 12, where is Mary? Mary is at the feet of Jesus, anointing his feet and wiping his feet with her hair. This location at the feet of Jesus is not just speaking in a geographical location, physical location, but to be found at the feet of Jesus is to be a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. So Mary was not only literally at the feet of Jesus, she was learning from Jesus as a disciple. And Jesus delights in this. Jesus is not going to send Mary away to do the dishes. Jesus delights to see Mary at his feet and defends her place. All who come to me, I will never turn away. Mary has a good place. She has chosen the good portion. Of all the priorities and responsibilities that Mary and Martha may have had, and of all the priorities and responsibilities that you have, this one must come first. The fact is, brothers and sisters, in this next week, you have one job. Only one. It doesn't matter if you are a student or a teacher, a stay-at-home mom, if you're working in the field, if you have a corporate job driving a truck. It doesn't matter what you do. You have one job, one priority. It is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's to sit at his feet, to commune with him. And as far as Mary goes, she has made the honorable choice. We all need to remember that we are dependent on him so that we learn to look to him for meeting our needs and we live our lives in communion with him. Even Jesus will say this in Matthew chapter 4. Man does not live on bread alone, but on the very word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. When we think of Martha, she was so busy preparing earthly food, so busy in her anxious toil and labor, that she was missing out on the spiritual food. She was missing out on sitting at the feet of Jesus. There is a Calvinistic truth that can be learned here. Far too often in our lives, we put this priority on work so that we start to see our relationship to God as one of labor. That God will only love me if I work, 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 and I do this and I do that, and maybe if I do enough, God would be happy with me. We need to learn from Mary. Sit. Find peace. Be at rest. And if we don't put a premium on spiritual pursuit, if we don't put a priority on union and communion with Christ, the fact is the busyness of this world will push that to the side. If we do not put a premium on spiritual pursuit, on holiness, communion with God, then it won't happen. We'll get busy doing things, and they might be good things. But if we don't seek first the kingdom of God, then our lives will be overwhelmed with doing many other things. To put it in today's language, what we find in our passage is this. We find Martha coming to church on Sunday, but she's so busy getting ready for the meal after church that she misses the sermon. She misses the means of grace because she's so busy serving in her anxiety. What Martha needs to hear is this. Daily, physical food can wait. Don't neglect your soul. Or putting it maybe one more way, of all the good things that you and I can do in the week, the best thing, the priority, is this: participating in the means of grace. Of everything you do throughout the week, if you do not put a priority on going to church on the Lord's Day, if that isn't the most important thing to you, then I guarantee something else will take its place. It's a good lesson for us all to remember. Communion with God, participating in the means of grace, learning from His Word, sitting at the feet of Jesus must be first in our lives. Psalm 16, verse 5, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup." If we seek the Lord with all of our heart, if we delight in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37 puts it like that. It's so easy to get caught up in the busyness of our lives that we forget what is the most important: worshiping God, resting in His love. We need to reorient our lives, setting aside time for spiritual union and communion. I've been struck, and I don't know if it's just maybe the stage of life that I'm in. Maybe you've seen this too, but I've been struck with the busyness of our lives. It seems that life is getting busier. It's going faster. There are so many things that can distract us in many different ways. Maybe it's the constant technology and the presence. We can be surfing or streaming or swiping all day long. Added to this, we live in a world that has this intense pitched fever filling us with anxiety. You watch the news at night and you go to bed stressed. What we really need, what should be our highest priority, is resting in the presence of God. Scripture reading and meditation, are these a part of your life? We are all called to seek the Lord. We heard that this morning. Love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. God doesn't want us just to be busy for Him. He wants us to know Him. He wants our hearts and our love, not just our actions. For without love, we gain nothing. To close, Martha's actions are a good reminder to watch out. In the busyness of life, stress-filled and anxious about the little things could be a way to describe many of our lives. But with Mary, we see the simplicity of faith. Love, evident in her devotion. May we all desire to sit at the feet of Jesus. Today is the Lord's Day. It's a day of rest. So I ask you this: in everything you've done today, have you rested at the feet of Jesus? Have you sat at Jesus' feet? Have you been fed with His Word today? Or has your life been filled with anxiety, troubled, or the many things that need to be done? As Jesus said, "Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, come sit at my feet, and I will give you rest. Be fed with my word." As Jesus states, "Seek first the kingdom of God," as He gently corrects those distracted with anxious labor. May we all choose the better way, to sit at Jesus' feet. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word, and we thank You for the reminder of the fact that we are dearly loved children, and You want us to sit at Your feet, to know You, to be a disciple, and to love You. So may we, in all the work that we are called to perform in this next week, keep this truth ever before us. that in whatever we do, may we do it out of love for you, not with anxiety and stress, being distracted, but with a single, wholehearted devotion of loving you and seeking your face. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.